So welcome to part two of the series that we are calling The Money Jungle. Now, when you say the word money at the beginning of a sermon, that makes people nervous. See? And so although we have no problem talking about money, we're a generous church, and we talk about generosity and giving and what that means for me and you and our relationship with God. But you can relax today if that makes you nervous, because we're not talking about giving today. What we're talking about is how to master your money so that your money doesn't master you. And I believe that this is very important because most of us are not strangers to financial issues. The truth is that 4 out of 5 adults here in America have been affected and phased by financial insecurity or hardship at some point in their lives, meaning that 80% of us here have had some type of anxiety or concern about money throughout our lives. And so if that is the truth, then this is a very important subject that we're covering. And I'm not just talking about lower middle class that could be struggling. Sometimes we think the only people that struggle with money issues are those that are on middle or lower class. And so sometimes looking at other people's lives and what they seem to have, it can look like they're doing really good. However, I mean, they can have a nice car, nice house, but the debt issues can be totally overwhelming and crushing at times. Also, even when people get to a point where they feel security or freedom financially sometimes, there's still worries about, well, is this permanent? Am I going to be able to keep this? And so last week, we went through 4 different money myths that we've got to understand that are myths. They're false. And so by going through those, we discovered that we were created to be fruitful, to multiply, and to have dominion in the world that we live in. And so if you didn't hear that, I want to encourage you to go back to YouTube or the website and check out that first message in this series. Some eye-opening stuff in there. But today, we're going to start out with their theme verse, 2 Corinthians 9:8, and it says, "So God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency," and as we discussed last week, that word sufficiency means you have everything monetarily that you need. That's the Greek definition for that word sufficiency. And so in having sufficiency in all things at all times, so you may abound, so that we could abound in every good work. And so that's what we want to talk about today, that there is a reason why God wants us to be successful and have provision. And it is for a purpose. Because success and provision without purpose is poison. See, that's where we've gotten to trouble in the church in teaching on success and prosperity, is because we have left out the purpose on the other side of that many, many times. But let me tell you, it would be hard for you to read through the Bible and not realize that God wants us to be successful in everything that we put our hands to. It says it all through the Bible. He wants us to have all sufficiency so that means that we have to have a purpose in our life. And so today we're going to talk about how to master our money and not let our money master us. Because believe it or not, money can actually be dangerous. So we know from last week, money's not evil, right? It's simply a tool. But money, like most useful tools, how many have useful tools? So you can use tools for all kinds of good things, but if you don't respect that tool, or if you misuse that tool, it could really hurt you. It could be dangerous. For instance, a weapon or a sharp knife, it could protect you. It could cut your food, which we all like. It could work for you, or it could actually cut you if you're not careful, or worse, somebody else. An automobile. Your car can get you from point A to point B, or if you misuse it, or if you don't respect it, you could actually hurt somebody. You could kill somebody with your car. A chainsaw. You could cut wood to warm your family, create atmosphere. I grew up like that with a wood stove. Or you could clear a fallen tree, help someone in a hurricane. But if you're not careful, you could actually lose a limb with that tool. It could seriously hurt you. So money is no different. It's the same way. You could provide for your family. You could fund ministry that changes people's eternities, introduces them to the loving gospel of God. You could feed the hungry with it, or you could turn it into what's called mammon. Now, mammon, we want to talk about that for a minute. Mammon is not a common word in our vernacular, but Jesus used it. So I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. So this is Jesus talking, and he says this. He says, "Nobody can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other." And then he says what he's talking about. You can't serve God and mammon. So he pits these two against each other. If you're serving mammon, you can't serve God. And if you're serving God, you can't serve mammon. And so let's talk about mammon. What is mammon? Well, let's look at the original Greek word for mammon is mammonas. And mammonas simply means a treasure or riches that were personified and opposed to God. So it's talking about there's a certain personality that money can take on when it's opposed to God. Some people even call it a spirit, but at the very least, it is this personified or personality of riches that specifically is opposed to God, all right? So, and another word here, it's hard to see, it says avarice, which means just this excessive desire for wealth, or a desire to pursue wealth as the primary purpose or goal. So it's very simple. If you just say, if you are pursuing wealth and the very desire of your pursuit is the wealth itself, that's where we get into trouble. That's mammon. Okay? So in other words, when there is no purpose for our provision and the success that we pursue other than that success and wealth itself, it becomes mammon. And Jesus spoke of mammon as the opposite of God, that it is in direct contrast with God. And if you serve God, you're not going to pursue wealth for wealth's sake. And if you pursue wealth just for wealth's sake, you're not going to be able to pursue God. So, see, provision without purpose to it becomes poison. Or in other words, mammon. All right? If you want to be successful, there's nothing wrong with that. I want to be successful. The question is, why? What's the purpose? Is it success for success's sake? Then we might have a problem. You want your business to grow? Why? What's the purpose behind your business growing? That's the question. And so this not only applies to the pursuit of wealth either. See, the pursuit of wealth is not bad if it has purpose. It's when the pursuit of wealth, the love of money itself, is our purpose. See, that's when we get into trouble. And so we could even say it this way, that sometimes, and you might say, well, Micah, I'm not pursuing wealth. I'm just pursuing paying my bills on time, man. Well, here's the thing. If paying your bills on time is the whole of your pursuit, then you're on a slippery slope to mammon and your money being mammon, because it's not for a purpose other than your own survival, okay? However, if you're pursuing something beyond your own survival, paying your bills, and you're pursuing a purpose in the kingdom of God, and paying your bills and being debt-free maybe is a step along the way, then you're all right. But if your only purpose is to pay your bills and survive, you're going to have a hard time. And if you get the provision beyond paying your own bills, then you've already trained yourself and your mindset in that point that it's just on provision for provision's sake, survival for survival's sake, and then it will turn in wealth into wealth for wealth's sake if you are successful, instead of wealth for the kingdom's sake or provision for the kingdom's sake. All right? So we have to be careful that we have a vision beyond ourselves. That's the core of Christianity, is that we have a vision for our own life in every area that is bigger than our own self and our own desire. There's nothing wrong with wanting things, but I think that's where we've kind of gotten off sometimes, is there's nothing wrong with wanting things. It's what is the purpose behind the desire? Because our provision without purpose is going to be poison to you. All right? And that's where money becomes mammoth. Mammon, not mammoth. So let's look at what mammon tries to do to us, okay? What does it do? Number one is that mammon's device is deception. So when it comes to money, the enemy wants to deceive you, so you get pulled into mammon's sphere, because that's where he works, is self-centeredness. And I wonder if today we're not seeing everything that God promised us because maybe we're deceived. Did you know when you're deceived, you don't know it? You come to saying, well, this isn't a problem for me. But if you're deceived, then you don't know you're deceived. Otherwise, you wouldn't be deceived. So maybe we go, well, you know, God, well, whenever I have money, I'll really serve you with it. But we've got to make sure that we keep God at the center of who we are all along the way. And we don't give into the deception, because that deception causes us to believe that it is okay for a while to focus just on our own provision. And I'm not saying you don't pay your bills so that you can give to the kingdom. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you don't save so that you can give into the kingdom. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you think and pursue beyond paying your bills, that you have a purpose that's beyond that. Otherwise, we give into the deception that causes us to believe that it's okay for a while for me to just focus on me and the money and my provision or my wealth. And I've seen people taken out because they followed the money instead of the purpose behind the money. So I've seen, even over the years, people with money, with wealth, get messed up. Because the percentage is very low of people who can handle a lot of wealth and not give in to the deception of that wealth. That's why Jesus warned us about it, and we were warned in the Bible. Very few can maintain the priority of their purpose over large amounts of wealth. I believe it's possible, and I believe we should do it, but it's difficult. I believe that we were wired by God, and our makeup and our need, we need three things. Okay, we need provision, value, and security. It's like we need to have provision, right? There's nothing wrong with you providing for yourself and your family. The second thing is value, that I could be something, that I am somebody. And then security is the third thing. Well, you know what? If something happens, it's okay. I've got a little bit squirreled away. I've got some security. And all those are good things. You should have all those things. But here's what the enemy does, is he says, I can give you that. Here's what mammon does. I can give you all those things if you focus on those things, the money. And mammon says, if you chase me or you make me your priority, then you'll be able to provide everything that you need to be valuable. And not only that, if we can get more and we can put it aside, and even if we have a storm or two, we'll be all right. We have security in the bank. And none of those things, you should want all those things. But the trouble is, if all of that is your only focus, is that provision or that success, that actual provision, then you're in trouble. And when we begin to focus on that as the core reason that we want to succeed, then we end up with the spirit of mammon. See, even being debt-free, I want to be debt-free. I want the ministry to be debt-free. But if the only reason you want to succeed is to be debt-free itself, spirit of mammon. So the question is, what's on the other side of debt-free? What's on the other side of wealth? What's my purpose that's on the other side of paying my bills? Because people can make some really short-sighted decisions when their entire view is just that next step. If I could just pay off that bill, if I could just get to this place, and it's not the kingdom of God that's on the other side of that. I'm just talking about the way you see things, okay? And so if you don't see it that way, you can be deceived by mammon. Look at Luke 11:16. This is Jesus speaking. It says, if you're not faithful with mammon, who's going to give you true riches? In other words, if we can't keep from being deceived by the pursuit of money, even for justified things, if we can't be faithful with just that, who's going to give us the true riches? Mammon is deceptive. it tries to deceive you into thinking about only your own provision and your own value, your own security, instead of focusing on your purpose that's on the other side of those things. Because provision without purpose is what?
Poison.
That's right. All right, so the second goal for Mammon is actually worship. It won't actually stop just by deceiving you. Did you know that the enemy still wants to be worshipped? And his ultimate goal is to be worshipped. Remember, Jesus was preparing for ministry, and God led him into the wilderness, and he's been fasting for 40 days. And what's the first test that the devil comes and he says, "Are you hungry?" The answer would be yes. And he says, "Well, you could command these stones to become bread." How many of you know if you're fasting for 40 days, that's a good option? After one day of fasting, that's a good option. But after 40 days, you can command these. And Jesus says, no. Wait a minute. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What was the first test? It was provision. The second thing, he takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, "You're God, right? You're the Son of God? Throw yourself down off of here. Angels will come from all over to catch you." Jesus already knew this. He says, "You won't dash your foot against a stone. And what did Jesus say? "I'm not here to prove my value to you." And then he said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." He quoted the scripture, provision, value. And then the third thing, he takes them. The Bible says in Matthew 8, let's look at that real quick. Says then he takes him to an exceedingly high mountain, okay? And he shows them all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he says to them, "All these things I'll give you if you'll just fall down and worship me." So you might say, "Listen, Micah, I've never worshiped money. I don't worship money." Well, if it's your priority, if it's your decision maker, if it takes the things of God and puts them second, sorry, it's worship. And so Jesus says to Satan, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." You see, what we worship is where our priorities lie. And so we cannot allow deception to lead us to worship, because Mammon's goal is worship. Remember the rich young ruler? He comes to Jesus, he's like, "I've got all this stuff, but I want you, Jesus, more than anything." And Jesus said, he saw the spirit of Mammon on him, and he said, it's not that you got money, it's that money's got you. Sell everything you've got and come follow me. And he couldn't do it. Jesus flushed out that spirit of Mammon. So we cannot let the priority of our decisions, our jobs, and our futures ever stand in the way of what God's purpose is for your life. And the key word is purpose. Because Mammon's goal is deception, and worship is, and then also thirdly, Mammon's outcome is control. He wants to control you. The third thing about Mammon is he not only wants to deceive you, he not only wants you to worship it, but it wants to control you. Let's look at this next scripture, Luke 16:10. Jesus says, "He who is faithful in least is faithful also in much," "he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much." It wants to control you. It wants to bring fear into you. It offers security. It offers a quick gain, but at the end of it, there is something that wants to take you and control you. And that's why we read in Luke 16 that nobody, not even one of us, can serve two masters. You'll despise one and you'll be loyal to the other one. And you cannot be loyal to Mammon and also be loyal to God. So I look at that and I just say, "God, I do not have two owners. I cannot have two controllers in my life." And so therefore I have to realize that if I don't surrender my possessions, my resource, if I don't surrender it to God for his purposes, it will actually control me. Money will master me. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you give it all away. It just means, is it available for God's use if he touches your heart? That's all it means. And then I'm not controlled by the very thing that was supposed to be a blessing to me. See, it's all about trust and what God can do inside of us. It's all about his purpose for our life. And that's why we have to keep our focus on God and what he's called us to do, our purpose. And that his provision is only a tool in our hands, and it doesn't control us. Because provision without purpose is what? Good. So you might ask, well, Micah, if success and provision without purpose is poison, so how do we make sure that our success has purpose? And how do we stay away from our money becoming mammon? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. I think that, first of all, we have to understand that God is a purposeful God. God is deliberate. He is definite. He is detailed. And everything that he does has a purpose. See, he's not Bruce Almighty. That's not God. He has high definition plans. He knows what he's doing. But listen, God does have the element of surprise, but one of the things about God is that he is still definite. He's planned, and everything that he does has purpose, and we get to be a part of that. See, when God created us, he was deliberate. It was a prearranged plan. And when we understand biblical provision, we understand that it's about his prearranged plan. So let's look at this. Isaiah chapter 46. This is what the Bible says. God says, "For I am God, and there is no other. There is none like me." And then he says that he declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying that my counsel shall stand. God declares the end from the beginning. He can do that because he is the end and the beginning. And it's with God that it all begins, and with God that it all ends. He declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times he spoke things that weren't done yet. I love that. That God is working through a plan, and your life and your salvation is about that plan and that purpose. See, God's omnipresent. It means he's everywhere. But he's not just everywhere, he's every when too. Past, present, and future. Can you imagine that? When it comes to our human understanding, it's just baffling when you try to think about it. To understand a God who is everywhere. So God could be in the past, he could be here now, and he could be in the future all at the same time. So if you ever doubt your future in Christ, listen to this. You've got to understand that you serve a God that's already in that future. See, he's there, and he's here now. But even when it comes to your birth, he said that he knew of you before the foundations of the earth. He knew of you. You want to head toward a God-given future? Stay Christ-centered. Because Christ-centered means that you're headed toward a God that's already in your future. See, God is working for a purpose. And this is why it's so important that we keep our eye on that purpose that he gave us. Look with me in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8:17. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might have given me this wealth. God says, no, no, no. You shall remember the Lord your God, because it's he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish what? His covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. One thing I believe for certain is, as New Testament believers, is that our resource and our wealth, our provision as Christians, is from God, but it's also for God. It's about the purposes and the plan of God, and we should never forget who it's from or what it's for. Or that's when we get into mammon. See, we were saved for the purposes of God. We're alive for the purposes of God. The giftings and the abilities that he's given us, the resources that he has given us, are all about his purposes. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God's plan and his purpose for our lives. And it's the reason that it's so important that we understand that is because provision without this purpose, if we don't understand that purpose, it's poison. If it was just about us, provision would be selfish. It would be self-centered. But when we understand that it's about God and His purpose, to not believe for resources in our life so that we can help other people and impact their lives, that's selfish. To want to keep it to ourselves and just try to believe God and hold on to it. But everything that God wants to do in our lives is about Him and His plan for our lives. And it's a mentality change. The second thing is that when we understand that provision without purpose is poison, we also have to get this, that the foundational concept of God is that we were born with a purpose. Look at 2 Timothy with me, 1:9. It talks about the God who has saved us and called us. So many people live to save, but they forget to live called. See, the scripture says that He has saved us, but He's also called us with a holy calling, a purpose. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. God saves us, but He also calls us with His purpose in mind. Wow. See, we are called according to His purpose and grace. And I love the "and grace" part there, because what that means is that God also resources us to fulfill that calling. He graces us to fulfill His purposes. See, we have purpose, and we have to live our lives as if we had that purpose. Because if you don't, everything becomes about us. And your resources and your provision becomes about you. And then it turns into mammon. And now your money is mastering you. See, when you have purpose, your relationships are different. You know what? When you don't have purpose, depression comes on. When you have purpose, you go to work with a purpose. You run your business with a purpose. And it can't just be wealth. It can't just be provision. You have to have a God-centered purpose to it. Even those of you that go to school, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? What God-given purpose is that? Educationally, socially? Hopefully we raise our children with purpose. It's not just about survival and getting them out of the house without having some kind of tragedy. But we have to live our life with purpose. And that includes my finances. Because even if we are financial successful or in any of these areas successful, provision and success without purpose is... See, when God saved us, He had His purposes in mind. And when we find Him and we realize that there is a purpose in our life, then God graces us and resources us to fulfill that purpose, then when we know Jesus, we come into a life that has a future. It has a purpose. It has a future in Jesus' name. And see, if it's all about me, there'd be no reason for me to resource my life. But I want to know that I have a purpose that's bigger than me. And if I can build into my life resource that has His purposes in mind so that I can reach beyond myself and make a difference, that's where we want to be. That purpose is what repels mammon and control in our life. Jesus said, if you serve mammon, you can't serve God. And I want to do everything I can do to repel mammon in my life. Let's look at Jeremiah. The Bible says, Jeremiah said, before you were born in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified or set you apart for my purposes. I ordained you or appointed you as my prophet or spokesman to the world. Isn't that cool? I mean, I wonder if we realize that God formed us in our mother's womb, but not just that, there was purpose in their very being. If I walked around every day realizing God makes no mistakes, He formed me in my mother's womb. He formed you. Regardless of the circumstances of that birth, you were not a mistake. The Bible teaches that who God foreknew, He knew before they were there, he says that's all of us. He also predestined us. There was a plan. We know that He foreknew us before we were born, and that He knew about us before the foundations of time. But He also predestined you. You are a person whose life has destiny. Did you know that outside of Jesus and outside of Christ, sometimes people think that destiny is just inevitability? It's just fate. Well, it's just where you'll end up. And it's usually negative. It's kind of like, well, it's just destiny, I guess. But you know what? In Christ, destiny is not inevitability. It's not fate. It's not just where you end up. With Christ, destiny means that there is a reason that you are alive, that your life has a purpose to it. That's why you exist. And so God has given us destiny and purpose. And that purpose has to be in the forefront of everything we pursue. And that keeps our money from mastering us. It keeps it from turning to mammon when we realize that we have a purpose and a destiny, and everything that was given to us with purpose. So as we close, I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." The person who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. You may say, well, no, money can come, money can go. Paul said this. He said, whatever state I'm in, I'm content. If I've got it, I don't have to excuse it. But when I don't have it, that's all right too. Because my trust is in him and my purpose is beyond provision. See, and so verse 8 says, "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river." See, that's not fear. It says, "And will not fear." And when the heat comes, God never promised you there wouldn't be heat. He just said he would never leave you in the heat. Mammon will leave you in the heat. And so when the heat comes, your leaf will still be green. And by the way, you won't be anxious in the year of the drought, because God will be with you and he has a purpose for you. And then he says, "Nor will you cease from yielding fruit." And then we go to verse 10, and this is really important. This is a bow tied on everything. It says, "I, the Lord, I search your heart." See, God's not impressed by actions. Remember, out, inside out. And he says, "I will test your mind. I'll test the way you're thinking. How are you thinking about things?" See, that's why there's a lot of hope for us, right? So no matter what's happening outside of you, everything is a heart issue. If you fix your heart, God can take care of you. But if you got bad roots, you're going to have bad fruits. It says, "I test the mind and I test the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." He starts with the heart and then he talks about the actions. Starts with the heart. And I can't tell you how important your heart is in dealing with money. It's a mindset. You may not do anything different with your money after today, but you better think, like, what's my purpose? This may inspire you to do something different as far as money. And it may be like, no, I'm doing all the right things, but I've stopped. I'm not thinking beyond the provision. I'm not thinking beyond the success. That it's just a matter of the way that you're thinking from the inside out. So you might say, well, listen, I don't have a lot of money. I can't change how, I can't give toward the offerings or Grace Initiative, and I don't even feel like I'm in a position to bring the tithe financially. Let me tell you a secret that most preachers will not tell you about the tithe. And this should be freeing for you. God don't need your money. He paves his streets with gold. And if he wants this ministry to do something, he's gonna fund it whether you tithe or not. But he chooses to fund it through us, not because he needs our money. He wants our heart. He wants to make sure that the purpose in our life is bigger than the survival or bigger than the pursuit of wealth. See, everybody's all up in the air about tithe. Is it New Testament? Is it Old Testament? Am I really under a curse if I don't tithe? Forget all that. The bottom line is this. If you don't tithe here at Living Word, that's no skin off our teeth. God's gonna provide. He's our provision, not you. The whole purpose of the tithe is this: for God to say, how much do you trust me? Does mammon have your heart? Or does my purposes have your heart? That's it. There's no pressure from me at all. God's going to take care of us. There's no pressure from the church. We're going to do ministry anyway. The tithe is simply 10% of your income given to the local church that you attend. That's what it is. But first and foremost, it is to determine, do we trust him with the purposes that he's placed on the inside of us? That's it. And so when we teach about giving, there's no pressure. It's just all about your heart. We're talking about heart issues. Listen, it's great to know you met a need, that you helped pay the bills. You helped. We're going to talk in just a minute about the Grace Initiative and all the amazing things that you guys have funded and all the needs that we've taken care of. But here's the thing, is that the need, it's not that the needs needed you, it's that you needed the needs that were God's purpose, to look beyond your survival and your provision. Your provision without that purpose on the other side of it is poison. It'll leave you dry every single time. And so I just want to challenge you to think beyond your survival. Think beyond the maintenance of the lives that we've created and just ask ourselves, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I here to do? And so in every area of my life, am I generous with little so that God can entrust me with much? It doesn't even necessarily mean about offerings at a church. What about that coworker at work that you know is struggling? What if they opened their drawer at work and found an extra 20 or an extra 100? Maybe you tell them, maybe you don't. Maybe you just sneak a peek over the cubicle as they open the drawer and see their face and realize, I have purpose. God uses me. And so I just want to encourage you today to just know that just as we learned last week that we are created to be fruitful, multiply, and to have dominion, but also that we have to realize that God's provision in our life without purpose, his purposes can be poison. It turns to mammon. And we can't serve God and mammon both. You're either going to love one and hate the other, or vice versa. So I want to encourage you that you just make sure that you know that all God's provision is for a specific purpose. Am I right? Yes. Amen. Wait, would you stand with me?